Lead Story is proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.
My name's Angie Scholes, and in our business lead story this evening, I'm joined by Leilani Basson, the Namibian Ambassador for Women in AI. Welcome, Leilani.
Hi, Angie. Thank you so much for having me.
First of all, Leilani, tell us about this conference. What can we expect?
Well, the conference is sort of like the first of its kind. We're super excited, super tired, you know, a couple of late nights. But essentially, it is to bring together some of the continent's great minds within the world of AI, and it's a daunting space for many. And where do we start? Where are future trends going, etc. So that's what the in a nutshell what the conference is about.
Why have you decided to have such a conference? Do you think there's a need for this in Namibia?
Absolutely. You see, like in my world, if I put on my professional hat, one of my professional hats is I'm a management consultant, and so part of that is that I'm trained in strategy, and so looking ahead, forecasting trends, etc. So I got into the AI wagon probably, you know, quite early adopter in comparison to, I would say, to the average Joe on the street. And what I found was doing work outside of Namibia and attending various events and conferences and things outside of Namibia, that this knowledge was not trickling through to our side. And there's quite a lot in this space, you know, whether you're for it or against it. I always say the train has left the station. And from a practical grassroots level, to inclusivity level, and to also just from a policy perspective as well, from a business perspective, it's quite important that we stay ahead in terms of, or at least be plugged into the conversation or conversations that are happening around AI.
Then, Leilani, how can African governments balance the fast-paced development of AI with responsible regulation to protect citizens' rights and data privacy?
The silver line that probably pulls through it is ethics. And also, I think it's one of the topics that we used to have at the conference is like who decides what ethics is and who's in the power seat around it. But very importantly, very fastly, our systems and policies, et cetera, are becoming outdated. We really need to have, like I said earlier, some sort of an inclusive conversation around this. We need to understand what this means. It's very hard for anybody to predict the future, but I think years past, we could probably see where we would be like in 5 or 10 years time. And really now it's difficult to see where we're going to be in 6 months time. So to start having these inclusive conversations and really bringing ethics into the conversation is of critical importance. Our policies, government frameworks, all of that needs to be addressed. And that's even starting off, from our education system. Like, how are we teaching kids? Are we incorporating this into the classrooms, et cetera? There's quite a lot of work that needs to be done around this.
What role do you think should national AI strategies play in promoting access and inclusive innovation across rural and urban communities in Namibia?
Angie, so overall, I think, you know, national AI strategies play a crucial role in shaping how artificial intelligence, you know, AI impacts both your rural and your urban areas. I mean, to ensure that it's equitable benefits and mitigating potential harm. So the core idea, in my view, is to leverage and to address specific challenges and opportunities unique to within each setting. So preventing that widening disparity between rich or poor or access or non-access, right? So also in terms of women in AI internationally, inclusivity is a very, very deep entrenched component of everything. So I think, first of all, bridging the digital divide and ensuring equitable access, infrastructure investment is important. So a national strategy prioritizing, you know, sort of like robust digital infrastructure development, especially in rural areas, is important. And there, I think, you know, it's not a one-man job. It really is from a national perspective where private and public sector need to come together, because without that foundation of AI applications are impractical, right? It just doesn't mean anything. And then digital literacy and skills development. So skills development, that's also quite a bit of work that I do in a professional capacity. So programs to enhance that digital literacy, AI skills are essential across the board, as I've said. So basic, and you know, we've seen in some of the grassroots areas that we've done some work, just you can't even introduce AI into the conversation if somebody doesn't have the basic computer skills. And then also just basically tailoring it for the different age groups and skills levels. And here I actually want to say age groups is one thing, but I mean, it's not just the kids that need to learn. We all need to learn, right? And we all need to upskill. And then accessible and user-friendly AI tools. So developing, there's no reason, given the technology that's out there, that we shouldn't be developing solutions that are user-friendly, culturally relevant for us as Namibians, and available in our local languages. So so I think probably in a nutshell, that would probably be it.
What are the biggest barriers to commercializing AI solutions in Namibia and the SADC region, and how can they be overcome?
So barriers in terms of commercializing, you know, one thing with AI is that you've got to fail forward in certain aspects. So it's sort of like building, does this work for you? Does this not work for you? Because a lot of it is quite new in certain areas. So from a commercial aspect, and I think if anybody wants from a business perspective, if you take a smaller SME, for instance, huge productivity gains, and also for larger organizations. But at the same time, we must be careful because of the jobs that would be lost as a result of that. So it comes back to that earlier point that I made about skills building and capacity building, which is exceptionally important. So before we can actually really talk about the commercial gains around it, we also need to have a parallel conversation about what does this mean for humanity.
How can SMEs and startups in Namibia effectively integrate AI into their business models without large-scale infrastructure?
Well, I think it's much more easier now than it's ever been before. So I am an entrepreneur by heart and been in this space for a very long time. So the basics of business, is always there, right? So do you have a viable product? Do you have an understanding of your market? What sort of like barriers to entry do you consider, or, you know, your resistance to change and so forth? But as an SME, I think on the, you know, the flip side of that is that there's so many tools right now that could make life so much more easier and to make sure that you get in front of your customer. And in the world of AI now, we talk about that there's a new trend that's developing, and it's called the IRL, and it stands for in real life. So in real life, you're still going to need to be in front of your customer and understand your customer, and your customer is king in that regard. So use AI in terms of a productivity lens to get to your customer faster.
What lessons has Namibia learned from other African countries that have successfully deployed AI in health, education, or even agriculture?
Good question. You know, let's just take maybe from a financial services perspective, right? And it's not necessarily AI, but if you look at things such as M-Pesa, you know, your mobile wallets and so forth, where some of these things originated, we certainly have a lot going for us within the agricultural space. I think we've got excellent farming practices that can be amplified. You know, for instance, even, you know, your earlier question about the rural areas. So AI revolutionizing agriculture through precision farming, optimizing the crop yields, et cetera, and fertilizers and so forth. And then from a healthcare perspective, you know, we're looking at diagnostic tools, telemedicine platforms. These are things that have already been implemented in other African countries. So it's not a thing about that we necessarily have to reinvent the wheel. We can learn from them, and especially them learn from us as well. I think there's quite a lot in terms of our emerging industries that if an overlay with AI could make that so much more powerful. And then I think the big aggregator for me, and you can probably hear that I'm a child of my mother's a teacher, or was a teacher. So education, so personalized learning forms, platforms for your organizations, AI-powered language translations tools, right? So in the past, we wouldn't have understood a foreign language, but now we can learn from others through the use of AI and to make that into our local vernaculars.
What AI-related skills will be most critical for Namibian workforce in the next 5 years, and how can the education system adapt?
Angie, that's a really good, really good, very good question in terms of what skills are important. So I think foundational digital and literacy, AI literacy for everyone. And I think if you're blessed, where you're working for an organization or for a business and they've got an AI adoptive policy or mindset, is learn and absorb and stay curious in the workplace. Make sure that you get into, such as for instance, this conference of ours that's coming up, where you can actually absorb and learn. And also the older tradition, the way that I do a lot of my things is that, you know, the internet and these platforms are free for all, and that you actually need to set time out to learn for yourself. So the basic digital literacy, I think AI awareness and understanding, I think there's a lot of confusion or misplacement in terms of what AI really is. And then also responsible use of it, I think, is a critical skill that we need. But the one of the most key ones, and almost want to say think being human, is critical thinking and problem solving. So as wonderful and great that AI is, it will always still require some level of human expertise, for at least for the moment now. So if we can teach our kids to critically, you know, to make that the superpower of critically thinking, and I think also creativity, we downplay creativity a lot. Creativity is a topic that I'll be speaking at the conference on quite a bit. So in a nutshell, I would say that. And then in terms of our education system, I think upskilling our educators and leveraging AI-powered personalized learning platforms, I think we need to bring it into the classroom to start off with. I don't think we should be afraid of it in that sense, but we need to teach children to use it and to use it responsibly.
Leilani, just a last question. Where do you see Namibia's AI landscape by 2030 if innovation and inclusion remain a national priority?
You know, that's a difficult question to ask. I hope that Namibia is waking up to all of it, that this should be part and parcel and center of policy making and decision making. The growth trajectory for Namibia's economy has been growing. And in terms of that, we could use AI to basically accelerate all of that. Yes, we've gone through a couple of difficult years, but I think overall we've got some good prospects within the country. Then I also see from a sectoral contribution, our tertiary institutions, such as the Namibia University of Science and Technology, who's basically gone out and advocated a lot for around innovation and so forth. And I know that because I work with the university quite closely, that we do have a lot of projects and student projects and so forth that are on the table across various sectors. So that's quite promising in itself. So in essence, Namibia's landscape presents a dynamic interplay, I believe personally, of natural wealth, economic potential, and that we have deeply rooted socioeconomic challenges, but its future trajectory will depend on our ability to effectively diversify economy, address inequality, because we can't shy away that is a problem in our country and that it needs. And I also think that our president has put forth quite a couple of bold plays out to address that. And then also managing our natural resources, sustainability around it, and strategically leveraging emerging opportunities like our green hydrogen. And now I would add to that adoption of AI.
Leilani, thank you so much. And we're looking forward to the conference that would be taking place on Thursday.
We look forward to seeing you all and having a great and fantastic time.
The lead story was proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.